Hello, this is Justin Williams with the Wolfpacker Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by co-host and editor of thewolfpacker.com, Matt Carter. And today, we are going to talk about NC State's upcoming bowl matchup against UCLA in San Diego in the Holiday Bowl. But before we dive into the bowl game preview and talk about if NC State can pick up its 10th win in one season for the second time in program history, quick reminders for the listeners and viewers at home, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen to us. Apple, Spotify, Google Play, everywhere you download and enjoy podcasts, we're there. So please subscribe and give us a 5-star review while you're at it. And we're also on YouTube, so if you like to watch us, you like to, you know, listen on your desktop while you're at work, or you're working from home, you like to listen on your laptop in the background, YouTube's a great option. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, and please give this video a thumbs up, drop a comment while you're at it. And last reminder, thewolfpacker.com is a part of the On3 network now. So go over to thewolfpacker.com and take advantage of a special deal they've got going on. It's not going to be around forever. I know I keep saying that, but one of these days, this deal is going to disappear, and you're going to be kicking yourself if you didn't take advantage of it. So for just $1, you get a whole year's worth of premium subscription to the On3 network, which includes the great work that Matt Carter does at thewolfpacker.com. I contribute from time to time, do some game recaps, got some columns coming up for men's basketball. Matt, he's just grinding every day on the recruiting beat, men's basketball, football, everything. It's great, great content for NC State fans. If you want to be informed, an informed NC State Wolfpack athletics fan, you need to be a member of thewolfpacker.com. So go there right now, pull out your wallet, just $1, you get a year's worth of premium subscription to thewolfpacker.com and all the great content On3 Network is doing. All right, Matt, let's talk about this bowl game, because we were talking off air a little bit about the men's basketball team, and I wanted to quickly pivot and talk about the football team, because the everything's going great in football world. I mean, I don't think, there's nothing negative really to talk about in football world. Everything is peachy. NC State has an opportunity on the table to win 10 games in a regular season for only the second time in program history. The only other time it's happened, you have Phillip Rivers as your quarterback, most likely a future Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback. Those don't come around often, and 10-win seasons don't come around often in Raleigh. You've got basically everybody coming back next year, an opportunity to launch into a special 2022 season with a big win over a marquee opponent in UCLA. Signing day was just last week, a good signing class coming in. I mean, everything's great over there at the Murphy Center in Raleigh, so Matt, is there rain in the forecast for all of this, you know, great fortunes NC State football has had? Is this gonna be a tough game, or do you think NC State ends with an exclamation point to, you know, what's been a pretty special season thus far, and really springboards into 2022 with some momentum, you know, against this UCLA team?
I think the answer can be yes to both of those questions. It's going to be a tough game. I've done a lot of digging into UCLA. I know you have as well. And this is no joke of an opponent. Probably one of the better teams NC State has played this year. And to be honest with you, we have to acknowledge that, you know, 6-2 in the ACC may not mean much. Now, the one time they stepped out of conference against a decent team from another conference, it didn't go too well. Down in Starkville, Mississippi, against Mississippi State. So, obviously, that was game two. This is game, 13. So, but first of all, let's hope they get the game played. I'm a little spooked by seeing Texas A&M having to back out of the Gator Bowl, and you're seeing all their professional teams canceling, postponing, I should say, some games in the NFL. I think the NHL went on a complete pause, right?
And then yeah.
NBA kind of talked about it. And, you know, football has its advantages. Being an outdoor sport, it has its advantages. But it still kind of frightens you a little bit. Like, you had such a magical season. Just like Wake Forest had a magical season, and now they're on the verge of being robbed an opportunity to play a bowl game. And not robbed, but lose an opportunity to play a bowl game. So let's hope they get the game played. I think UCLA is clearly one of the better teams NC State has played this year. They have a true dual threat quarterback who would rank right up at the top of the ACC quarterback. They have a running back who would rank right at the top among the ACC running backs. They have a very good receiver, punt returner. They have more issues on defense, and there's some vulnerabilities that NC State strength on offense maybe could take advantage of on UCLA defense. But it's an excellent third down team for UCLA. They're hard to get off the field. It's going to be a big challenge for NC State. That said, do I think that they can end the year with an exclamation point and springboard into a potential top 20, maybe even borderline top 15 ranking next year? I do. The game prediction, we're recording this, and it won't be long after we record this that the game predictions will be live on the website. So, I do think that's a distinct possibility. And you'll see on my prediction why I think so.
Well, I'll tell you this. At least one of us picked NC State. I know that for a fact. But bowl games are just hard to pick, really. They're really kind of a crapshoot, especially once you get beyond the New Year's Six bowls because of, you know, not only opt-outs, but just the want-to factor. Now, I think the want-to factor is going to be, you know, I don't think that's going to be an issue for either team in this situation. NC State has pretty much all of its players playing in this game besides those that are injured. Ikem Ekwonu hasn't announced that he's not going to play in this game yet, but I would suspect he won't because he is a projected top 10 consensus NFL draft pick. Depending on where you're looking, he goes as high as number 2 overall. He's got nothing else to prove. You know, there's way more downside than upside for him to play in this game. I totally expect him to sit out, and that would be understandable for every party involved. But beyond that, there's really no player on this roster that, you know, has a reason to sit out. In fact, anybody that's thinking about going pro probably has good incentive to maybe use this game as a catapult into, you know, getting some more film for draft scouts. But, you know, the want-to factor is going to be there. It's going to come down to execution. And Matt, you brought up one good point about, you know, out-of-conference performance for NC State. NC State's last win against a Power 5 opponent out of the ACC was in the 2018 Sun Bowl, the year, you know, 2017 season. You have Bradley Chubb, Ryan Finley, all those pros. That was the last, you know, real special season. And a lot of parallels between 2017 and 2021. We were already kind of talking about that in the preseason, and the season has kind of played out, you know, to that. You know, win a couple more games, probably find yourself in a New Year's Six Bowl. But all said and done, really, really great team. No doubt about it, a top 25 team at the end of the year, you know, win the bowl game or not. But NC State 0-4 against out-of-conference opponents among Power 5 conferences since then. You think about the West Virginia game, 2019. Think about Texas A&M in the Gator Bowl, 2019. You think about last year's bowl game against Kentucky in the Gator Bowl. And you think about Mississippi State earlier this year. Haven't had a Pac-12 opponent, which I think Pac-12 a little bit more comparable to the ACC in terms of just, you know, average recruiting class rankings, just kind of the level of talent and the physicality on the field. But Matt, where do you think if you ranked all of NC State's opponents this season, where would UCLA fall on that pecking order for you? I think that's kind of a maybe an interesting analysis for the listeners to kind of give them an expectation for where UCLA lay. I'd probably put them at maybe 3, personally. What about you?
Well, who would you have 1 and 2?
I would have Clemson 1 and Mississippi State 2.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think that, I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, I think Wake Forest, Clemson, Mississippi State, NC State, I mean, UCLA, not NC State. Those four can probably all be thrown into a pile and then kind of come out in any kind of order you want to put them. So I'm kind of with you. I think they're right up there with the – we're talking about three teams, two of whom beat NC State, one of whom NC State needed overtime to win – double overtime to win at home. So it gives you a reason why you think that Vegas has it a one-point spread. I know ESPN's FPI has NC State like 58% chance of winning, which – it's not high. You think, oh, that's a pretty good chance. But when it comes to ESPN FPI percentages, that's pretty much a toss-up. On paper, they're a good-looking team. They won three in a row. They won them by convincing fashion. They did beat LSU. Maybe it's not national title-winning LSU that we saw, but LSU still has SEC talent, some of the best talent you can buy, right? So that.
You know, in my prediction, I said, you know, UCLA's resume is very similar to NC State's, you know, with the exception that UCLA has four losses, NC State has three. All in all, I think you stack up the Pac-12, you compare it to the ACC, they're very similar conferences, very similar top to bottom in terms of talent level. And, you know, UCLA, LSU's the marquee win, and LSU's a you know, a team that barely was bowl eligible. I know it's an SEC team. I know it has the SEC talent. You know, you want to talk about NC State's marquee win. It's Clemson at home. You know, a team that underachieved this season, but again, has the talent, has the five-star recruits on the roster. So kind of similar there. And you look at UCLA's losses, and they're all against good teams. Same case with NC State. NC State didn't lose any bad games. Neither did UCLA. UCLA... probably the third best team out of the Pac-12, that thus why they're in the Holiday Bowl. Utah and Oregon being their two of their three Pac-12 losses. They also lost to Arizona State, which is, you know, competitive Pac-12 squad that was in the top 25 at the time. And then Fresno State, you know, pretty solid group of five team on the West Coast. They lost that game by 3 points. So, you know, pretty comparable resumes, I would say, Matt. I mean, I think all in all, you'd give the edge to NC State. NC State enters this game as the ranked opponent, but you know everybody's going to get to this. Is going to be, I think it's going to be one of the better bowl games beyond the New Year's Six. By the way, we watched that Frisco Bowl last night between San Diego State and UTSA. You know that was kind of up there in terms of the out of New Year's Six good games out there, but. You look at the rest of these bowl games, there's either opt-outs or it's just not good teams. These are two good teams, not a lot of opt-outs. I think it's going to be, you know, a four-quarter game. I think Vegas is right on the money. It's. I'll let the cat out of the bag if you want to go read my prediction. NC State, I picked them by a touchdown, but, you know, that's a late touchdown in my opinion. NC State's found ways to win late, but...
I think the key for NC State, they got to get to at least 30 points, which is something I kind of pointed out. That's kind of a magic number. If you look at UCLA's season this year, the game they score 30 points, they tend to win. I think they're 7-2 in those nine games. They're going to score points, too. If I'm the defense, realistically, you think, can we hold them under four touchdowns? Get them under four touchdowns, you're in a real good spot. The field goal kicker has experience, looks like he's got some leg. He can make some long field goals, but his accuracy this year was not anything to write home about. So then conversely, when UCLA gives up 30 points, they tend to lose. They were 1-4 in games when the other team scored 30 points. So it just kind of shows you that, like with UCLA, it's whoever gets to 31st, probably going to win the game. Can NC State offense get up to about 30 points in this game? That'd be kind of a barometer. You and I have talked about it. NC State's scoring per game this year is a bit misleading because they've had a high number of defensive and special team touchdowns. But in actual offensive production, they've been between 26 to 30 points fairly consistently in ACC play. I think they might need a little bit more than that from the offense. But now what we talked about where UCLA was a bit shaky on defense, it's in the pass defense. They've given up some huge games to teams throwing the football this year. And we saw at the end of the season, NC State was going to throw it and throw it no matter what, right? Yeah, they were Yeah, you know, like Bam Knight and Ricky Person weren't on that sideline anymore. So, but this is the game where if you believe in letting Devin Leary cook, this is the game to let him cook and let him go to work. And so that'll be interesting. I think third downs will be huge. I think Devin Leary taking care of the football and taking advantage of that matchup and then winning the strength on strength. UCLA likes to run the football. They're good at running the football. They have a true dual threat quarterback and a great running back. That's NC State's strength, is stopping the run. But we saw they did not do a good job stopping the run against UNC, and they gave up a couple of really big runs to Syracuse the week before that. So I'm guessing that's going to be a major point of emphasis in bowl prep.
Yeah, I think it, I also see this as a high scoring game, Matt. The, you know, the first to 30 race, an interesting storyline to keep, you know, keep an eye on. But another thing to keep an eye on, this game's being played in a baseball stadium. I think historically, like, the depth perception of the way a baseball stadium is set up, it kind of makes it a little bit harder to get the passing game going sometimes. And sometimes that leads to, you know, in degenerate gambling circles, they like to bet the under in football games played in baseball stadiums because of that element. Maybe an interesting element to watch. I don't know how many practices. Do you know, Matt, if they get to practice in the stadium before the game?
I don't know about
how much.
The stadium itself. They'll walk through, I'm sure. But I think the plan was either to leave today or on Wednesday or Thursday. I can't remember exactly which day it was. So they will be out there pretty soon. But as you know, this is the typical bowl week. They're going to go see the Jew. They're going to go to the...
Are they going to SeaWorld?
Yeah. I think they're going to a naval shipyard. Obviously, if you've been to San Diego, you know they got the world-famous... I'm blanking on the word. San Diego Jew. Yeah, they got a lot of stuff planned. We were hoping to make it a full disclosure. We got somebody covering the game for us in San Diego, and I know Justin was really hoping to get down there for the Holiday Bowl. He's been talking about it for 2 months, and his dream almost came true. But maybe not another time for Justin to make that trip down to.
You know, in hindsight, it doesn't. You know. I'm waiting to get my booster. I'm actually getting my booster right before that game, and with Omicron and everything, I don't mind staying at home, getting to have a recovery day, watching football all day on the couch. It's gonna be interesting to see how many NC State fans make the journey out to San Diego. I'm gonna be really interested to see what the crowd's looking like. UCLA too. I mean, I just think the travel plans. If anybody was on the fence, you know. COVID cases, maybe that makes them lean towards not going. Hopefully there's a good showing. I would imagine a lot of the families are going to be traveling with the players, spending Christmas in San Diego. Hopefully, you know, the recent COVID cases aren't going to damper the, you know, pre-game festivities for the team and everything. Hopefully they get to have a good trip in San Diego because, you know, that was one thing that was really missing from last year is just the fun of the bowl games. That's why there were a lot of opt-outs last year, and there's a lot of teams that just chose not to go play a bowl game just because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you're playing for pride. If you're not competing for a championship, they are more or less exhibition games. But it's an opportunity for the players to have, you know, one last outing together as a unit and have some fun and get rewarded for their success in the regular season. So, you know, hopefully all of those things are still the case. Matt, have you heard anything different? Have there been any change of plans recently? Are they canceling any plans with, you know, because you're right with the Texas A&M thing. That does scare you a little bit. I mean, just keep an eye on it. Hopefully the game gets played.
Yeah, I've gone back to using the term scheduled when saying the next game. More so for basketball. Justin will tell you last year, I would always say next game scheduled. Against so-and-so in basketball, because you just didn't know. I hadn't heard any changes. I know the college football playoff has announced that teams will now have the option of showing up 2 days before the game instead of enjoying the full week of festivities. But you know, I think there's some structural things about football, college football, that gives it an advantage of being able to play with your basketball. And that's really, truthfully, a whole other subject matter where, you know, you're being blunt about it. I would say we got to quit using the March 2020 playbook on COVID and update it to December 2021 when it comes to who should be allowed to play, who shouldn't be allowed to play, who should be quarantined and kept out for X amount of time, and who should be allowed to keep being allowed to play even if there is a positive, et cetera, et cetera. But and the other interesting thing about Texas A&M is that they had a number of opt-outs, they had a number of injuries, they had a number of transfer portal guys. So kind of the accumulation of all, they had a sizable COVID outbreak, but it was added on top to all of that is what made it impossible for them to field a football team for the Gator Bowl. So I think that all put together, just kind of hope that most teams aren't in that situation where they have a sizable amount of guys transferring out in the portal and injured and unavailable to play or opting out and pursuing NFL opportunities. So, but yeah, I hadn't heard anything about NC State changing plans. Kind of late in the game, I think, to really start canceling things and changing plans. And I do know that most everything that NC State was planning to do with the bowl game was outdoors. And that's a big difference. So I think they were comfortable with that. Obviously, NC State's 100% vaccinated right now as a team. I don't know if they've been boosted, but they're 100% vaccinated as a team. So that helped as well. So we'll see how it plays out. But if it does play out, I agree with you. This is one of the better non-New Year's Six bowls. And you see that reflected in a lot of the rankings of one of the best bowl games. And NC State, UCLA is up there pretty high. And some of those other games that were rated higher have lost some of the luster, right? Like Pittsburgh, Michigan State, when both teams lost their star players, have opted out of, I think that's the Peach Bowl. They've opted out of the Peach Bowl. So that game, those games might not be as exciting as they were before. I think even if, say, Ikey Kwanyu opt out, I think the odds are good that a lot of the marquee players for both teams are definitely playing in this game. And that's why I think this is a great barometer game for NC State. If they truly are going to be a top 15, 20 caliber preseason team next year, then they need to win this game. They need to prove that, you know, they can step out of the ACC and beat a pretty quality opponent. And a veteran team, too. UCLA's a pretty veteran team. And this is UCLA's first bowl game in 4 years, so you know they will be up for it.
I think you can make the argument that this is probably NC State's most important bowl game since that 2002 season Gator Bowl. I mean, if you think back to, you know, the recent special years, the bowl games were kind of non-consequential. I mean, you think back to 2017, the Sun Bowl was kind of a disappointment to be there. The Holiday Bowl, not so much. You know, a bowl that you haven't been in very much historically. Has NC State even ever been in the Holiday Bowl, Matt?
Is this, no, this is the furthest west NC State has ever been.
So, you know, off the beaten path, you're on Fox, you know, nationally broadcast game. That's going to be cool. I can't remember a time watching NC State football on just regular Fox broadcast ever. I don't know.
Gus Johnson calling the game. The legendary Gus Johnson calling a Wolfpack game.
That'll be cool. I can't wait. One reason you kind of wish Icky was playing, because I'd love to hear what Gus Johnson would say about one of Icky's pancake blocks. But, you know, again, respect decision. Kind of hope he doesn't play just for his sake. Great dude. Hope he gets drafted number one overall. We'll see. But yeah, I'm excited. Let's see what happens. NC State fans, the ones that were complaining about the Holiday Bowl, aren't you glad that NC State didn't go to the Gator Bowl now? Would have been in this huge debacle. Maybe not playing the bowl game. I know it was between the Cheez-It Bowl and the Holiday Bowl, but
yeah.
Who cares? I still think UCLA is a better opponent than Iowa State. Good to get off the beaten path. So that's going to do it for this Bowl preview. Tune in Tuesday, December 28th, 8 p.m. Eastern time on Fox. Watch NC State take on UCLA in Petco Park. Should be a cool scene. Reminders before you tune out, please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to this. Or on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, everywhere you listen to podcasts. And we're also on YouTube, where you should subscribe to our YouTube channel. Give this video a thumbs up. Drop a comment while you're at it. Go over to thewolfpacker.com and take advantage of this special deal On3 is doing. For just $1, you can get a premium subscription for a year to the On3 network, which includes thewolfpacker.com, all the latest and greatest news, analysis, recruiting information that you'd ever hope for as an NC State fan. It's on thewolfpacker.com. If you're a true diehard NC State fan, you're a member, so go take advantage of that deal. $1 gets you a year's premium subscription. Go follow us on social media at The Wolfpacker on Twitter. You can follow me personally at Justin H. Will on Twitter. And give us a like on Facebook, NC State Wolfpack on thewolfpacker.com. So for Matt Carter, this is Justin Williams, and this has been The Wolfpacker Podcast.